Imagine being an essential worker through the entire pandemic. Gainfully employed, but in a position that's very high stress. Your workplace is guarded by the police, though still vulnerable to shenanigans. And many of the decisions you make every week could be a matter of life and death. Oh, and you're pregnant with your first child in a male-dominated industry. If you can put yourself in these shoes, that's a brief description of State Senator Mallory McMorrow's pandemic life. And she joins us now. Senator McMorrow, welcome to Stateside.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So your due date was 2 days ago. How are you doing?
My due date was 2 days ago, and I may or may not be in active early labor right now. So hopefully it's happening any day now.
As we speak.
As we speak. Yeah. There was some signs this morning where I'm like, okay, this could be it, but I don't want to be overly optimistic about it. So it might be happening.
I mean, there's a part of me that hopes that by the time people are hearing this, that the whole process might be over and done with.
I hope so as well. She has overstayed her welcome. She's very comfortable, but we are ready for her to make her appearance in the world.
We really appreciate your making time for us to talk right now.
Yeah, it's a good distraction.
It's not unheard of for lawmakers to be pregnant while in office, but kind of uncommon. And given the fact that most of our state lawmakers are men, and a fair number of those who are women are a little bit older, do you feel like you are in a supportive environment to work to see you through this juggling act?
Yeah, it's been really interesting. You know, I when I was elected, I learned that I was the youngest woman ever elected to the Senate in Michigan in my early 30s. And that is true. There aren't that many working moms in the legislature. I'm very grateful to have Stephanie Chang as a colleague who I've been able to ask questions, but it's made it very apparent that this is not a space that is designed for moms and working moms and really anybody who's a caretaker of anybody, which is so many people throughout our state are taking care of kids or parents or loved ones. And it's been a very eye-opening experience.
Are there ways in which just the physical space of the Capitol seems different to you now?
There's a lot of steps. I'm relatively active. I like to stay active, but we break from session and we go into caucus and it's up 3 or 4 flights of stairs and it takes me a little while to get there versus some of my colleagues. It's definitely changed the physical experience and the commute. You know, I'm 86 miles one way from Royal Oak to Lansing. So it's a lot of time in the car.
Likewise, are there ways in which maybe policy issues have a different feel for you now that you might otherwise have thought a bit less about?
Yeah, they certainly do. You know, I think that everybody brings their own lived experience to the legislature. And I've long been a vocal advocate of the fact that we need elected officials who are representative of the people we represent. And when the majority of those in elected office are older, tend to be a little bit wealthier white men, we've seen policy that reflects that. So it is changing the way that I think about policy, especially as we're going through a pandemic. You know, I'm thinking about every mom who's been at home for the past year trying to juggle working and being at home with kids and trying to help them with online learning and just how many holes there are. And we've seen some of those reports that the total job losses, I think, you know, a month or 2 months ago were made up entirely of women. So it is definitely going to change how I approach policy. And I think that's a good thing.
There was a point earlier this year in which you were one of the state lawmakers speaking out after the demonstrations in late April at the Capitol, in which a lot of armed protesters were milling in and about the Capitol building. And, you know, since then, we've seen a bit of a pivot in the way the issue is being handled, partly because of what happened January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. I do know, though, that the restrictions that you had hoped for on guns more broadly maybe have not gotten the traction that they would have otherwise. Do you think that there will be appetite to further legislate gun restrictions in the coming months?
You know, it's interesting and a little bit heartbreaking. I watched the events unfold on January 6th in the U.S. Capitol. And it just felt so familiar. You know, it was horrifying to watch, but I think any of us who lived in the Senate chamber in Michigan on April 30th, the year prior, it felt like a dry run. And it wasn't surprising to see what was happening at the US Capitol. But the US Capitol does not allow firearms, doesn't allow any weapons, doesn't allow water bottles. You know, there's a pretty strict list of prohibited items to ensure that the United States Capitol is a safe place for everybody who works there and attendees. And obviously, those safety measures were not in place on the 6th, but they do exist otherwise. And in this current climate, it is terrifying to think of what would have happened. And I even look back on April 30th, I stayed on the Senate floor when there were four men heavily armed, carrying rifles behind my head. And looking back, I probably shouldn't have sat there because it would only take one person putting their finger on a trigger to change everything. So I didn't know that I was pregnant yet, but I have been, and there have been subsequent demonstrations at the Capitol, and it has changed my thinking about it, certainly.
You alluded to this a little bit, but we've read and heard many times in recent months about how disproportionately the pandemic is affecting the women in Michigan who work. There have been greater losses in jobs, greater losses in wages. Do you think now, having spent some time thinking about this, are there targeted ways that the legislature might try to do something about this in the relief packages that are under construction?
Absolutely. You know, I think that despite the fact that we are in 2021, I think that a lot of the emotional labor, the caring labor, the soft labor still falls on the back of women. Traditional gender roles are still very real. And many women like myself choose to do both, right? Choose to work and raise a family. And I think that's a good thing for our state and our economy and our country as a whole. But we need to evolve our policies to support that. You know, I talk a lot about the traditional 9 to 5 Monday through Friday workday. Just the fact that if you get out of an office at 5 p.m., but your kid gets out of school at 2, what do you do for those 3 hours? Is that something that we can support via legislation to possibly take some of the good things from this pandemic, more flexible work environments, more flexible schedules, and allow for that while still allowing women who work to be considered full-time to receive benefits? Obviously, addressing the childcare gap that we saw during the pandemic that prevented many people from going back to work because their kids were at home, and ensuring that people have earned paid sick leave, which is something that, you know, Michigan voters put on the ballot in and was gutted by the legislature. So there's so many things that we can do to support not only women, but families, and just evolve the way that we think about work and work-life balance.
How do you think childcare is viewed by some of your colleagues across the aisle? Having had the year that we've had, do you think that you'd be able to find some consensus on something that could change the equation?
You know, I hope so. And it's interesting because the women that I serve with on the other side of the aisle are older. Their kids are grown. But everybody else on the other side of the aisle, if they do have kids or grandkids, it's been their wives or granddaughters who have stayed at home with them. And I will be very candid. There are some of my Republican colleagues who, for whatever reason, didn't talk to me very much before I got pregnant, and then did, and then checked in and wanted to see how I was doing. And it was a very strange feeling because it felt like I was suddenly valuable because I was pregnant, not because I was their colleague. So that's been emotionally a challenging thing to grapple with, especially with how hard I work to get into the Senate. But I hope that childcare is not viewed as less than. You know, the entirety of the continuation of our population of the human race is dependent on women, and we don't treat that with enough respect. It is treated as secondary, and we have to change that. And I think that only changes by changing who represents us in elected office.
Well, tonight, of course, is the night when another working mom in Lansing, Gretchen Whitmer, is going to deliver her State of the State speech. Is there anything particular you hope the governor will address?
Yeah, I mean, this has been a year like no other, and it is almost surreal to realize that a year ago we were all sitting shoulder to shoulder in the House chambers listening to last year's State of the State address and that it's going to be virtual this year. You know, I have been a very vocal advocate since the beginning of the pandemic for evolving the way the legislature operates to allow for remote participation, remote voting. One of the things that has been a shock to me is that I am technically not a state employee. The legislature self-regulates itself, so I don't qualify technically for the maternity leave that the state provides. And if I miss a vote, you know, it turns into a campaign ad against me, which I'm preparing for. But you know, I'm hoping that she addresses head on. You know, the only way we get through this, the only way that we return to normal is by addressing COVID-19 head on. Increasing vaccination, improving the way that people get in line to get vaccinated. I know it's been a rough rollout, but we're dependent on what comes to us from the federal level. And doing that with a sensitivity that this has been a terrible year for everybody. Every decision is a tough decision. And we're not each other's enemies. I think that that's going to be a theme that we hear from the governor, but I've just been watching what's been playing out in the legislature today. With the majority GOP blocking every single appointment and now threatening to withhold education funding unless the governor relinquishes MDHHS's authority to handle the pandemic. And it makes me very worried for the next 2 years.
Senator Mallory McMorrow has been talking with us today. Mallory, we wish you all the best and please enjoy your maternity time.
Thank you very much.